Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to get into the promised content. We're going to get into American republicanism and how that is a lost understanding amongst most people today. Before we do, though, I want to get through some obligatories, but I want my opening monologue to kind of cover something. You know, we're all critical. We're all critical of those who criticize ourselves. And I understand that we all have our own biases. And I know that the organizations that just with a sleight of hand have taken positions that are, you know, absolutely a fallacy regarding Republic Review, you know, I don't take lightly to that. But I do know that there are people that work in the trenches that are a part of that organization or another organization. And I've said this before, such as the John Birch Society and the Convention of States. I believe the people down in the trenches who are members and supporting what they think is a good cause, I believe they're good patriots. I just believe that the leadership of organizations tend to be all focused about their self-relevance and maintaining their position. And I say this because not one of these two organizations, but I did reach out to another organization that a lot of people really look, they've really got it going. This is the organization you need to connect with. And I'll talk more about this organization later, but I first need to find out, because as I was talking to the leader via a chat, I was told by him, and he's kind of the brain trust behind this and this other movement. And actually, I support the First Right organization. But bottom line, I was told directly by him that they are constrained very specifically to a specific scope of work. They cannot join forces. This has the smack of the same kind of thing that has been honestly told to me by other organizations. So the question is, you know, when you, let's say you have a really good cause and you want to get out there and you want to be a a reason or a purpose for change, and somebody comes along and says, and they recognize that what you are doing is really nothing that will solve the problem, but you will be able to get a lot of good people engaged, kind of like Glenn Beck when he has his marches, when he had did his 9/12, when he did his march in Thelma, and all these other little things that he does. What solution has he caused? What unconstitutional power has been relinquished because of that? Now, I may not have had any successful rallies, and I may not have millions of followers at this point in time. But the fact of the matter is this. Nobody can refute the argument, and this is why everybody that understands their organizational, you know, their ability to survive depends on not solving the problem. Because they're not going to solve the problem. Western States, this organization I just spoke to, all these other organizations, the way they are working. So this, and I've taken a little bit of heat for working with the NLA. And I want to say this, and I said this when the NLA came on board. When you have an organization that is willing to champion something that is actually going to solve the problem, then I'm now dealing with one, either somebody that has put aside their ego and is willing to actually support something that will invoke the solution, or when you look at these other organizations, here is an organization that has just embraced Republic Review that is not tied and or controlled by the controlled opposition leadership. Because when you look at it, there's a reason why people do not want to solve this problem, because there's something in it for them. And I will leave it at that. As you know, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And I hope you enjoyed the interview with Trevor Lawton. I actually did a follow-up with him today and basically asking him, is it true that, because my assessment of John F. Kennedy's appointment to the Committee on Vaccines, because he's such a vocal, adamant speaker against vaccinations, against the safety and so forth, but he's an ardent Democrat. Seriously, folks, can you trust somebody that believes in subjugation, but, you know, becomes supposedly this public leader against this one thing that is a huge tenet within the communist plan and the communist party? And if you didn't know, the Democratic Party and the Communist Party are synonymous. They are the party of enslavement. They are the innovators of slavery for tomorrow. They're here to make you feel good. They're here to let you get addicted. They're here to help you get away from the chains of morality and good character and honor and integrity, and allow you to do whatever it is that makes you feel good. Isn't that nice? Aren't they great? Anyway, as you know, you are listening to the only show that provides the academic evidence and evidence-based solutions. I also want to let you know that I have actually began putting to paper the article? I think it's all about Section 3s. And the reason I'm calling it Section 3s is because there are three Section 3s within the Constitution that... Tell me if that's not just a coincidence, that there's three Section 3s in the Constitution that are not well understood and that have teeth, as well as a pathway to really making and invoking, invoking ground-shaking change politically in the political landscape of the world. Because as you heard yesterday, I was talking to Trevor regarding Section 3 of Article 4. States being admitted into the constitutional republic and being a part of the union. Of course, this isn't a quick thing, but it is a part in Section 3. It is the point of Section 3. There's also Article 6, Section 3. What is that? Oh, well, Article 6 is one. There's two sides to this now. Article 6, Section 3 makes it so that all representatives that are elected local to federal must raise their arms to the square to support the Constitution. They must take an oath, just like they're, I want you to understand this. When somebody raises their arm to the square and is documented by a legal figure that this person has been sworn in, that means that they are accountable to that oath. Legally accountable. But the problem was that there was really no teeth to that other than honor and integrity. And we just talked about the washing away of those types of things, taking away the consequences of your behavior and action, because there are organizations, and I meandered somewhat about this, I believe, on Monday. Anyway, getting back to the Section 3s, the other part of that Section 3 is the fact that we are not supposed to apply religious tests. And everybody thinks that a religious test has to do with a test for Catholics and a test for Christians and a test for Mohammedans. No. It also includes a test for secularists, godless people. In other words, somebody that stands up and says, oh, I notice you're a person of faith. Well, we want to make sure that your religion, and what they just did was they opened the door of applying a religious test. We must stop playing in their game. And as a matter of fact, organizations that are, you know, calling themselves Christians, there's a local organization, actually, I think it's a growing local organization that gets involved in local politics. We believe we vote. And if it's not near you, it will be coming to you, because it is a growing thing. And most people look at it as this brilliant solution to a place you can go to know how to vote, because they have faith-based questions on issues and with the candidates. Technically, they are kind of applying a religious test, but actually, I want you to really understand that the education system is teaching your children to go to places like that to look and understand how not to vote. Excuse the expression, but we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. But I can just tell you that there's no point in providing that type of detail. And the only thing you can do is try to create good tests of memberships and so forth and not make this type of information public. It's one thing to know who are good people. We want to know that. But it's really, really a disservice, because as these kids who are willing and actually foaming at the mouth to get rid of liberty, they're going to look up who not to vote for and make sure that they vote for the other. And as a matter of fact, the point in fact is that is why the kids coming out of the school today predominantly are voting communist. They're voting for communist issues, homosexual marriage, and those types of things. And we've covered all of this before. So when we get back, we're going to do a few more obligatories and we're going to move forward into American republicanism. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so one of the things I like to ask, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm also going to say something I haven't said in a long time. The first question I want to ask is, are you a part of the solution or are you part of the problem? And as I reach out to these people, I see lots of people, and I'm engaging people that are active all the time. I'm trying to engage more elected officials at this point in time because it is an election year, and we want to get these officials to actually take a stand. Now, in a blue state, you probably, just so you understand, the primaries is really where the election is settled. I've said this so many times. There's very few counties, or I should say districts and what have you, in the political fray that are really that close. And those, you know, those are contested areas. But when it comes down to the primary, whoever wins the primary. So this is where the evildoers, the Communist Party is doing everything they can to put wolves in sheep's clothing, to put candidates up, to challenge decent people, or let's just, even some of the rhinos are considered a threat, even though they're not really good constitutionalists. They're just kind of milquetoasty conservatives. Fact of the matter is that the Communist Party is trying to unseat and make sure that they occupy as many seats as they can. And they're trying to take the red states. They're focused on the bigger red states that bring the bigger prize. This is why the Dakotas, this is why Wyoming, and this is why some of these other states, Arkansas and so forth, are really marginalized. They don't have a huge bevy of, like, Texas. Texas is a huge area. Florida is a huge area because of their electoral college, because of their political clout that they have in the executive. And I tell people, the executive is really nothing. The executives are only people who are supposed to faithfully execute. The problem is, as we've just recognized, the executive has these things called emergency powers. However, their emergency powers are limited per the Constitution to what they can do and what they can't do. And if you read my article that is out on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, the Constitutional Perspective article that talks about martial law in the 21st century, you'll see that they cannot declare or suspend any of your constitutional rights because they do not have the necessary components to be able to do that. They have to deploy the militia to be able to declare martial law. So the whole understanding all of these things and understanding these parameters that are with easily within and identifiable within this compact, the Constitution. Well, the problem we have, my friends, is that nobody understands these things, and people think that they can just make it up as they go along. And I'm here to tell you that's not true, that we actually have solutions. Then the solution is understanding the abilities, jurisdictions, and so forth. You got to understand, the federal government can only do those things that have been defined in the terms of the contract. Do they have the power to do so? If the power is not enumerated, they have no power. And the best context I can give you is Mr. Iredell's metaphor that he uses in A Power of Attorney. When you have a specified or a enumerated power of attorney, that is all you can do. That's exactly what the U.S. Constitution was. We didn't need a Bill of Rights. The Constitution enumerated very specific powers. Did it enumerate anything over religion? No. Did it enumerate anything over the public being able to gather together? No. The federal government had no power over, you know, all of these things that are supposedly protected. And the fact of the matter is, if you read Mr. Iredell and if you read all of the Federalists, Madison himself, they came right out and said that the powers are enumerated. If they are not enumerated, they have no business meddling with it. They, as Mr. Marshall said, they have no jurisdiction. The federal jurisdiction is limited to those enumerated powers. So every time they have done something, they've done anything outside of their jurisdiction, they have violated the Constitution. And a case in point, the Constitution clearly declares that that all states be Republican in form. And Reynolds v. Sims, I think it was in the 60s, is a ruling by the court that actually overstepped their bounds. What do you do when the court system is actually usurping jurisdictions it has no authority to usurp? The only thing we can do is have the state step up and basically throttle the Supreme Court and say, you have no business doing this. And all the empirical data proves all of this, that the federal court system is, their jurisdiction is tied to those enumerated powers just like everything else. They have no jurisdiction over abortion. They have no jurisdiction over life or over, you know, CO2 in the air. They have no jurisdiction over homosexual marriage, blah, 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 blah. I could just go on and on and on and on. That's one of the reasons why we have to audit the federal government against the Constitution and determine everything that all three branches have done or have failed to do and hold them accountable. Now, since the very beginning, and since my very first book, I truly believe that we should not be just using a scorched earth attitude. But we do have enemies and we have rebellions. And that other third section is what I am writing about and focusing about more so along with the last third section of Article 6, but the third section of the 14th Amendment. But I want to move forward. You're going to have to wait to get that article. But the question is, are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? Because if you're not working in assisting the solution, and one way you can do so is ask your like-minded friends and even people that are searching for answers to just tune into this context, or this context, into the concept of Republic Review. Get them to start opening up and listening so that they too can become a part of the solution. There are different ways. I know we all have our limitations. We all don't have affluence. We all don't have technology or what have you. There may be whatever our limitations are, but you can, and everybody can do something. And as Edmund Burke has noted, and it has been quoted so many times, the only thing for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. And I'm telling you, everybody can do something. And if you're not doing something that's a part of the solution, you are a part of the problem. So help us with our listener drive and help us expand the audience. That was the whole point of this last, 10 minutes or what have you. What we do want to do is we also want to thank you for tuning in. Without you and without your expansion. As a matter of fact, when I was looking at our numbers, when we started off the show, because I'm really busy doing a lot of other things. When we started off the show yesterday, I think we were ranked out of all of the streaming. And we do know that we are on the air in a lot of other shows. So we're up there in numbers. The problem is that either my voice is just being played in empty rooms, or my voice is, you know, helping people in hospitals recover or what have you, or people are just staying tuned in. But anyway, we need to consciously grow this and consciously make people start thinking about Republic Review, auditing the federal government and holding them accountable and actually correcting the variances to our compact. That's the only way we're going to save ourselves. Anywho, don't forget, we've got Constitution Day. And oh, by the way, if you're a coffee drinker, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and get you some Red State Coffee. They are our only sponsor. As you notice, we don't have ads, so I only plug the sponsors and, you know, plug opportunities of ways to support us. And I don't do that often. And I will even note, this is the first time this year that I've even mentioned that I do have books, because it's not about trying to make the money. It is about getting the message out and getting other people engaged. Folks, my focus is with the legislators. That's why I am going to bring on some of these red state legislators. I'm going to have some interviews with these folks. And I, you know, they're going to be learning about this for the first time, but at least I've made contact with these folks and I'm doing this. You could be doing the same thing. You could help me educate those people who are in the position to save us. We do not have time to educate America. That is a fallacy. I'm telling you, they just implemented communism, and the next crisis right around the corner will probably be that Bolshevik Revolution. This is a test run. And we have swallowed the pill. Talk about the red pill. This is the blue communist pill. So anyway, let me kind of just move forward. And what I'll try to do is I'll try to do a recap with the last minute. I'm going to have to bleed into the next segment. We've already covered the scale of liberty and the importance in understanding that what does it mean to embrace full liberty? It means that you're willing to accept any alternate perspectives. And we also talked about natural law, and that natural law, anything that you do that defies natural law, is just that. I mean, it upsets the entire course of events for humanity, such as when you start embracing things that are a detriment to society, you have violated natural law, like embracing homosexual marriage. You are going to pervert and undermine the morality of enlightenment that our nation had built upon for years and years, centuries, and we've debased ourselves to where enlightenment is completely out the window. We're going to get into republicanism today, and so that's what our focus is when we come back. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back talking about the importance of republicanism and what it means. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so republicanism. What is republicanism, or what is a republican form of government? Well, most people like to marginalize the concept because a republican form of government or republicanism is about representation, right? I mean, no taxation without representation. And so throughout the world, the representation has been defined as the representation of the people, because it has been basically taught everybody that it is we the people that are the sovereigns. Hold it. Is that true? Are we the people? Now, most people that have, you know, any kind of religious bent can, you know, quickly see and grasp the concept that God is the ultimate sovereign. But in political affairs, I mean, it's not like God is here now and that he is created a government and is over that government, so forth and so on. And thus we would have possibly a theocracy. But that's not the case. Now, There's lots of people that are positioning themselves because maybe, and many people like myself, think he's coming soon. And so there's going to be a lot of people that will rue that day. But let's get back to republicanism. In American republicanism, during the Enlightenment, Roger Sherman had the epiphany of understanding sovereignty. Clearly, we have not given general powers to our governors. And in every other government, even though we like to tell ourselves that we are the sovereigns, we're really not. Yeah, we have a say in the elections, and we can choose the direction. And as I've told you, we're the real problem. We, the people, are the real problem because we fail to be articulate and clearly point out the essential, this is what you need to focus on, representative. And the problem is that we have all of these different passionate factions, whether that be abortion, homosexual marriage, Common Core, Obamacare, vaccinations. You can just go on and on and on. Just look at all the different little tents that are in the conservative camp. Folks, we've been divided for years over our little pet peeves. The one thing that all of these pet peeves have in common, and I've said this time and time again, is that they are all based upon violations of the Constitution. If you understand the macro perspective, how everything is all tied to unconstitutional government, then if we united on the audit and we united on the concept first, and applied the principles of republic review, we would be on a track of obtaining compliance to the Constitution, and everybody's little pet peeve problem goes away. It's really that simple. Because all of a sudden, abortion is no longer an issue because the federal government is in compliance to it. Now you just need to fix your state problem. The same thing with the welfare state. The same thing with Social Security. Now, as soon as I say that one word, Social Security, people just go off to the left or to the right or into space. There are ways of ending this albatross, and there are ways, and Milton Friedman articulated it best. All we have to do is actualize it. End it. Stop taking money. Use whatever means necessary to pay the debt to those who are, have been promised and who are in a position of need of that, and so forth. And as a matter of fact, I am not advocating that the state government or the federal government be ever involved in deciding who deserves and who doesn't deserve, because that's when politics comes in. And that's when politics is used as a fulcrum to wedge people and or leverage people in and or out of their favor. Bottom line, we need to actualize that. But back to this whole concept of republicanism. Clearly, our sovereigns are our governors, those who govern us. And those who govern us are our legislatures. If you read the ratification debates, they always talk about the legislatures as the sovereigns. That was their paradigm. They acknowledged and recognized the fact that they had delegated very specific power to them. And in those things delegated, they are sovereign. We've given them the ultimate say to send us to war. In other words, if you understand the magnitude of sending a person to war, that means that they could put you to death. That's a pretty powerful sovereign. Fact is, they have only these types of powers. And one of the things that they actually debated was they realized that our representation was only going to be 2 years. So they knew, those people in the House of Representatives knew, that by sending us into a perpetual war, people would grow weary of it and they would lose their seat at power. And that's why that the powers were distributed the way they were between the House and the Senate. But the fact of the matter is Roger Sherman's epiphany, as they just basically shot down the Virginia plan and the New Jersey plan, because the Virginia plan was basically going to annihilate the states and the New Jersey plan was basically going to continue the Articles of Confederation. And what Roger Sherman brought to the table, parted the heavens and people recognizing that we actually do have sovereigns, that our governors and or I actually should say state legislators are sovereigns. Even our county legislators are sovereigns. We elect them and they have delegated powers to govern us. Fact of the matter is, we have established and acknowledged that republicanism in America represents the key political sovereigns, the people, as well as the sub-element of government. At the federal level, or at the general government level, our legislation has two representations: the representatives of the people and the sub-element of government, which is the states. This is why we have a bicameral legislative body. Why is it that after the signing of the Constitution, every state in the Union, all 13 original states, had conventions and realigned their legislative bodies into bicameral legislative bodies with a House and a Senate, and that the Senate represented the counties? They did the exact same thing. And as a matter of fact, when you read the ratification debates, it just doesn't jump out. But these things were like common knowledge, and these things are lost common knowledge today. But the fact of the matter is, every state in the Union created bicameral legislative bodies and a representation of the people and supposedly of the counties. And, oh, by the way, the counties, they recognize, and this whole thing was about political minorities. They understood the population centers, and they talked a lot about this, that they did not want population centers to rule the minorities of the state. They understood that the coastal population centers where the ports are, that's where the commerce would thrive. And they knew the agrarian sectors, you know, the meadows and the counties where the farmers are, because they're so spread out, they would be least populated, which is why they made sure that the counties were represented in the Senate. And we have completely lost that concept. Now we've been told this bill of goods that we have, and Nebraska was the one that pointed out to everybody that we have lost American republicanism, which is why they got rid of their bicameral legislative body in 1935. They too had a bicameral legislative body. But when they realized that we were no longer recognizing the sub-element of government as a sovereign, we have tied our hands and moved ourselves towards more of a democracy. There's a reason why the counties, just like the states, need to be able to rein in and keep the population centers from oppressing us. This is one of the reasons why you hear me talking all the time about all of these different states, Nevada, Portland, or I should say Oregon because of Portland, Nevada because of Las Vegas, Seattle and Washington, Indianapolis and Indiana. All of these states with single population centers are two separate population centers, like Ohio with Cleveland and Cincinnati. Split these states. Split them. Demand that you split these states. One of the things it does is it takes away the control of the population center by running. Look at what Chicago has done to Illinois. Look at what Boston has done to Massachusetts. Look at all these different population centers and how they've destroyed and created these vestiges of socialism. And for years and years and years, America and we, the taxpayers, have been subsidizing this implementation of socialism. How? Because the federal government, until Trump became elected, used to subsidize these states that had these high oppressive taxes, because the federal government would allow you to write off on your federal taxes the taxes that the states were oppressing you with. So in other words, the federal government was basically ununiformly giving you an advantage in your socialist state and helping subsidize socialism. That's a violation of the uniformity clause if I have ever heard of one. And there's lots of them. But as you can tell, I also hear that we're at a heartbreak. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Now, I need to also put on the table, republicanism was so important to the framers because they recognized, they knew Tytler's cycle of democracy. They understood it just like Tytler did. Tytler just basically stated the obvious and put it on paper. Everybody recognized the dangers of democracy. You read the framers, they'll all, and this is, I think this technically, when we were framing America, it was technically before Tytler's Cycle of Democracy was published. Fact of the matter is, they recognized that democracy was so, so dangerous that they even made sure that our executives were not to be a part of a direct election, that we were supposed to choose electors. And go read the Electoral College in Article 2, as well as the 12th Amendment. The process of choosing the president is to be done by the electors. That we're not supposed to do a popular vote and then, you know, the party selects the electors. No, we're supposed to vote for our electors, not the president. And as a matter of fact, the appropriate application of this, and I think we lost this in translation as well, is we shouldn't even be voting for our governors. We should be voting for county electors, that the county electors would then go and actually go in a local convening place and vote for who they believe would be the best governor. You want to get money out of politics? Follow the model that the framers gave us. It would be a great way to do so. You know, Congress, and as a matter of fact, the Senate is one of the, I believe the Senate is the most expensive house in legislation. Believe it or not, it competes with the cost of buying the presidency because of our democracy. You want to get money out of the presidential campaign period, get back into following the, at least for the president again, just on the president. get back into electing electors, following the Constitution, complying to the Constitution, and we get rid of all of the money and buying a president. We just make sure that our electors actually represent us. And if they don't, we got to hold them accountable. You know, in the old days as a kid, we used to, you know, you punish people with a pink belly, you know, and in the Marine Corps, it was a blanket party, you know, but we held people accountable. We have to do the same thing with our politicians. Pink belly them, blanket party them. I don't care. I think in A Few Good Men, they called it a code red. When I went through boot camp, it was a blanket party or you sent somebody into the whiskey locker and that's where they met the whiskey monster. Anyway, back to this whole point that the framers really understood the dangers of democracy and what the Supreme Court and what our indoctrination system has done is it has made us completely blind to American republicanism. Got everybody to feel really good that we're the sovereigns, we're in full control, and how stupid we are for allowing them to teach us this. Because clearly we have to acknowledge that we do delegate power. You know, I was appalled when the Republican Party locally in the state of Washington wanted every time a city, county, or anybody was going to raise taxes that the people had to vote on every issue that was a tax. Friends, that right there is democracy, and the Republican Party embraced it. Start thinking about what Republican is and what the Republican Party should be standing for. Anyway, you understand now. You're starting to understand why counties are no longer being represented in the states. Technically, we have and should have a unicameral legislative body because we have turned our backs on representation of the sub-element of government. This is one of the reasons why we need to fix the Constitution and force republicanism. Article 4, Section 4 guarantees that every state in the Union be Republican in form. And we're not following that. Every state be Republican in form. That means that we should be representatives not of the people, but we should be embracing the American Enlightenment of recognizing our sovereigns. Progressives do not care about these American minorities that they tell you they care about. But I believe the framers knew this. This is why they set up this system to include the edict that the states must be Republican in form in Article 4. Progressives use divisive tactics in stating that these block voting parties, these voting blocks, that's what they call them, you know, the blacks, Latinos, these different demographics, women, all of these different tents, they're all divisive. When really, if you look at the county that is up in the mountains compared to the county that's along the coast or the county that is out in the agricultural sector growing the food, they need equal representation and they should not be subjugated and be taxed to death to pay for mass transit in the mass population center. It is repugnant to American republicanism. Thus, the progressives have been blurring the state and county lines by using demographics and herding and actually disenfranchising people and their sub-element of government where they live. Because we're gravitating towards these divisive demographics instead of understanding that we collectively in this county have very disparate interests. The reason I go through this series of topics tied together with the scale of liberty, natural law, republicanism, and so forth, is that these matters transcend all demographics. We all have, as far as I'm concerned, we all have an iron in this fire. We all have, I don't want to use the stake, but we all share a position at this table. Not letting somebody go represent us as a self-appointed member of our demographic group. We don't need that. That is divisive. So that's why I've been constantly calling for and getting people to look at, you know, championing these conventions at the state level. I also, if you have not read my article regarding and challenging the 17th Amendment, it does not need to be repealed. Go read that article. We can rescind the 17th Amendment because the government has allowed that one amendment and that door has been opened to rescind it legally. Anyway, Republicanism and the 17th Amendment is just another case of how the states have lost the representation. Go talk to a state legislature and ask them, how well does the Senate answer to your needs? He who pays the piper calls the tunes, which is why a lot of people, and I've actually had this conversation with people, a lot of people really believe that the 17th Amendment destroyed the state's representation. Well, not really, because the final arbiters are the states. You know, if the Senate chooses to violate the Constitution, because they're supposedly supporting this globalist agenda, what have you, the states still have the authority over the Constitution and using republic review. They can recall their senators. The states still actually have the control. And until the states surrender their sovereignty and their, I'll call it their share in the Constitution, because they are the principal shareholders of the Constitution. Until they surrender that, we still have hope. We still have a chance. I just want you to understand that. Again, and here's the interesting thing, and the thing I love about probably the least recognized framer. Roger Sherman was the only person to sign all four of what we consider our most important papers. The Continental Association, the Declaration of Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution, as well as, I believe he was even at the Declaration of, yeah, it was. He was there at the Declaration of Independence. So what else could Roger Sherman have contributed to? Roger Sherman also contributed to the writing of the Bill of Rights. And as much as I admire Roger Sherman, he did us damage in one way. Because he and Madison argued, and Madison felt that it was more important that an amendment be written into where it belonged in the Constitution. And Roger Sherman felt that every amendment needed to be at the end. Had we not listened, had Congress not followed Roger Sherman on this one case, the 17th Amendment would have stuck out like a sore thumb. Because the 17th Amendment fails to recognize the Amendment Protection Clause in Article 5. So, he was a little, I look at these men and I understand that these were really good men, but they were men. They had egos. This is why Madison's famous comments on if, you know, men were angels and if angels were men, you know, we wouldn't need government and so forth, but we do. I just want you to understand, and we're down to the last few seconds. Republicanism is a lost concept until we start demanding that our sovereigns, those legislators at the different levels or the sub-elements of government, need representation. There is a reason why the roles and responsibilities and powers were divided the way they were between the representatives of the people and the representatives of the sub-element of government, the Senate. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process.
This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.